Monday, it is April 29, 2024. My name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe the gospel and obey the gospel, my friends. I want to play this video. This is Commander Rob Green. He's Navy. I was Army. Commander Rob Green on the Colonel Rob Manis show. And he speaks about the lack of trust in the military. This is the video that I'm going to be analyzing today. So let's roll, and here we go.
We are not doing what it takes right now to make sure that readiness is prioritized. What's actually happening right now is senior leaders are protecting themselves, the institution, as we discussed in the article, and their own careers. They are willing to risk the services in order to not to take any personal risk. What we're seeing right now is a devastation of manning. In just the Navy itself, in the fleet, when this thing started out, we were at 7,000 gaps on operational sea duty billets. And in the 2.5 years since that came to light, that has tripled. There's now 21,000 gaps in operational billets at sea, and it's only getting worse. The services are going to miss recruiting, they estimate, by 41,000 recruits. And the only way, as Admiral Lee and I wrote in our article, the only way we can get to the bottom of this is restoring trust. We've got to study this thing. We've got to understand exactly what went wrong and how we can identify those things to never happen again. And we show how the law was broken and trust was destroyed with service members and with the American people. We had service members kicked out, turned homeless with children. I talked to one individual who had to live out of a vehicle with kids for a long time, ended up being about a year before he was able to move into a family member's basement. Couldn't get a job because of the characterization of the discharge he was given. It wasn't a fully honorable discharge, all for standing up for his religious beliefs. That kind of thing was happening all over the place. Another young man isolated from his SEAL team, treated poorly, forced to be escorted into his own building. He was given manual labor. He was told that the only thing he was allowed to do was yard work. And so the very last thing he did before that young man committed suicide was doing the yard work outside of the building. He was no longer permitted to enter. Those kinds of things, the American people see this. So if you're a senior leader and you're listening to this interview, we need to own this. We need to embrace the red, and we need to take whatever personal consequences come from it so that we can rebuild trust with the American people. So if something goes hot in the world, which it's highly likely in our current environment, we're going to have a force that's manned properly to respond to that.
Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Commander Green speaks about several different issues, but the biggest, broadest issue is that of trust. And I want to analyze that today, if I may. I want to respond to the fact that there is corruption that has destroyed trust in the military, but I also want to direct you to some solutions. Now, I have provided you Commander Green's Twitter account, his X account. It's in the link description below, RobGreen1010. And then you can support his work for military accountability if you go to www.militaryaccountability.com. And there's a lot of the work that he's done there with other people like Brad Miller, who has grown out his beard and his long hair. He's a former Army Lieutenant Colonel who gave up his battalion command because he would not inject his soldiers with the experimental bioweapon. I want to examine this, if I can, from a lens that I want to call the Christian lens. So we want to first go back to what the authority is. The authority is the Bible. These people who are in our government have all sworn an oath to the Constitution. That means that they have bound themselves to the text of the document that serves as the authority for government. This, of course, comes from a biblical perspective where in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. The reason why you swear under oath, the reason why you swear under penalty of perjury, is so that you are accountable for what you say. When you take an oath, you are saying, I bind myself, I bind my conscience. Conscience is conscience with knowledge. I'm binding my conscience to this thing. I'm swearing that I will perform this duty. I'm swearing that I will obey. And so the essence of trust is that you have integrity. integrity comes from the Greek word integer, or it comes from the word integer, which means one, whole, indivisible. There are no parts, there are no divisions, there are no denominations. You cannot divide yourself. If you divide yourself, Jesus teaches, you will fall. A house divided by itself cannot stand. The issue in our military is the fact that trust has been destroyed, and there are a lot of reasons. I'll go down some here shortly. I'd like to direct your attention to how you can support me in the ministry that I do, wherein I talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Christ's wisdom directly applies for today. The best way that you can support me is to take the money that you're already spending and switch it over using patriotswitch.com/Jaron. This is an American manufacturing company. It's online direct product purchase. All of your dollars goes to Americans. All of your dollars goes to American manufacturing. Take it away from the globalists. Take it away from the corporatists. Switch it over to American manufacturing. Whenever you sign up, myself or somebody with me will call you. We'll say, here's where it's going on. Here's how you can switch it over. I have saved money. We get better products. It's direct product purchase, and it's a blessing to me and my family. PatriotSwitch.com/Jaron. Thank you very much. Commander Green brings up a couple different issues. I first want to acknowledge the fact that he is putting his own neck on the line. The man is still active duty. The man is still wearing the uniform, still commissioned. And because he's in that active duty capacity, you would think that he would be subjected to intense scrutiny because he's active duty. He's using political speech, which is protected, while he's in military service. Now, where I would say that he's perfectly capable of doing that, because he never gives up his private rights, just because you are in military service does not mean that you give up your private rights. So he absolutely can give political interviews, he can say political speech, but as soon as he puts on the uniform and does it, now there's a conflict of interest and he can't do that. So I believe he's protected by doing it, but at the same time, whenever you have a government that doesn't care about the law, destroying the military, he is certainly putting a target on his back, and so his courage should be commended. He brings up a couple different issues. He speaks first about the disposition of the military, insofar that it is lacking billets, positions. So for those of you all who don't know, if the military says, see, he's Navy, let me go to the Army, right? So I don't know Navy, let me go to the Army. An infantry platoon is 40 guys. 40 men. That's what it is slated to have. 40 guys. Those are the positions. Now, each position's different. Each position has different equipment, different function, whatnot. But 40 men. So if a platoon only has 30 men, it is missing 10 positions. So it is operating at 75% strength. Does that follow? 40 positions are required for full manning, but yet you only have 30 positions filled. The lack of the 10 positions means that the platoon, even though it's a platoon on paper, functionally speaking, you are not fielding 100% of the combat power that you are accounting for. Because if I'm supposed to go attack an enemy position, in the infantry, the Army teaches that we always attack 3-to-1 ratio. So if there's one man defending, I'm going to attack with at least 3 people. And the reason why we do that is we normally try to establish a base of fire, a support by fire with 2, and then we flank with the 1. And the reason why we do that is to gain fire superiority, to pin down the enemy, to suppress the enemy, so that we can close with and destroy the enemy by means of fire maneuver. I'm going to put 2 guns against your 1 to suppress you and keep your head down while the 3rd guy runs around the flank so he can get really close to you and shoot you in the face. That's basic block and tackle. This is the basic maneuver of infantry warfare. And so we want 3 men against the 1. So if you have a platoon that's supposed to have 40 men and you've got 30 men, you are not attacking with full strength. Now, I would imagine it's the same way with the Navy. They need deck swabbers, and they need fuel people, and hose stretchers, and they need radar technicians, and whatever the Navy needs. I don't know. I'm not going to try to pretend like I know what the Navy needs, because I don't. They need ships and boats and, right, the little hats that they wear on the side, right? Like, they need those things. The Navy needs those things. Commander Green is saying that they don't, they, a couple of years ago, they did not have 7,000. They were missing 7,000. Now they miss 21,000. And then he says the recruitment will lack 40,000. So not only do you not have 21,000 positions filled, which means that you are weak and not functioning at your fullest strength, but now that you're not even going to meet your recruiting goals. So if your recruiting goals are for 41,000, you're not missing those, which means you're 41,000 under. So that the positions that you need to be filled, you're already at a deficit. And that the numbers that you're projecting that you need to recruit, you're at a deficit therein too. Now, the reason why that's important is because every year you have members getting out of the military, members being promoted into new positions. But you also just have people who are they're getting out because they're retiring, or they're getting out because their contracts are up. I volunteer to join and fight for 4 years. In my 4 years, if it's up, I'm out, because that's my contract of service. So if you've got people exiting the Navy or the military, you need people coming in. You need a constant supply of people coming in. The reason why corruption has destroyed trust is because the terms and conditions, the Constitution being the primary one, the Constitution secures your right to private health. It's called liberty. Your liberty interest is secured in the Oklahoma Constitution. It is, but it's secured in the U.S. Constitution, the Fifth Amendment. No man shall be deprived of life, liberty, property without the due process of law. Your liberty involves your private health. When the military came and said, you guys have to take the COVID jab, they were violating your right to liberty. There's related content in the links to below whenever I say the law and military vaccinations. That Rumble link is in the description below. If you want to see what the law says regarding vaccinations for military members, please go watch that. But when the military, for example, tried to compel the vaccination of its members, it did so in violation of the Constitution. That is a breach of trust. Not just the trust because the government wasn't given that power, but it's a breach of trust insofar as the members that joined the military voluntarily did not join the military to become a freaking guinea pig. But yet they were compelled to do that. And the members who had the courage to say no, many of them, as Commander Green were speaking about, were separated. Now, when you were kicked out of the military, the characterization of your service matters. I got out of the military, and my DD-214, the form that says that I was separated from the military, has a characterization of honorable service. I did not leave under the auspice of any punishment or any shortcoming, no failure on my part. It was honorable. I honorably served. So if I went to go apply for a job, if I did not have the ability to be supported by patriotswitch.com/Jaren, which is a blessing to me and my family, support American manufacturing, amen. But if I didn't have that, I would have to go to a job, a normal 9-to-5. If I didn't help out people through my ministry, I would be going to a normal 9-to-5. Those employers would ask for a resume. The resume, I would say, I was in the military. Oh, you're in the military. Could you please provide me the characterization of your service? Oh, well, here it is. It says other than honorable, or it says dishonorable. What that communicates is that you're a dirtbag. What that communicates is that you did not do a good job. And what Commander Green was saying was that it's hard for members who leave the military to get a job if the characterization of their service is other than honorable or dishonorable. And the reason why that's important is because if you volunteer to serve your nation and then you do it other than honorably or dishonorably, it is common sense that employers are going to be like, you're going to do the same thing to me. I don't want to honor you with an employment opportunity if you were substandard in your service to your nation. So it's difficult for members who have a bad characterization of service to get future employment. Now, in some cases, it's valid. If you do drugs and I kicked you out and it gave you a dishonorable discharge, it should be hard for you to get a job, because when you were in service to your nation, you chose to do drugs, or you chose to beat your wife, Or you chose to run away from your duties. You chose to go AWOL. You were a coward. Those things matter. And that goes back in history. When the Spartans would say to their men going to war, come back with your shield or on it. Which means you were killed in battle and they had to drag you back home with the shield that you had. Or you come back with your shield, which means you were successful, you did not die, and you still got the thing that protected you. Which means you can continue to fight. So that goes back a long time ago. But it's this concept that because the military forced the vaccinations, and President Trump is responsible, President Biden is responsible, these men, as commanders in chief, were making decisions that went against private rights. Period. The Constitution doesn't allow for that. So there's a breach of trust insofar that the government, the military, was doing something it should not have done. And it goes against the terms and conditions that the military members volunteered for when they entered the uniform. There's another aspect, and this is the reason why I got out, because we were fighting wars that had nothing to do with America's national security. These forever wars, these unconstitutional wars where the U.S. Congress has not declared war since 1942. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the U.S. Constitution says that Congress has the power to declare war. If Congress has not declared war and yet the military is committed, what are we doing? They called it an overseas contingency operation with the GWAT, the Global War on Terror. They called it expeditionary forces. Our military, since World War II, has evolved into the corporate arm of special interests for people to tinker with other nations, not to defend America, but to tinker with other nations to try to shape the world the way that those interests want it to see, want it to look. And they've done it against the law, against the text of the Constitution that requires the Congress to declare war. The reason why this is important is that if Congress, which is made of representatives of the people, declares war, then that means the people are going to be in support of it, yes? But if the Congress just simply allows for the military to be deployed, and what has been, what I saw, the military is more and more supplemented with contractors, people who aren't in the military. What actually happened was that I would go to Afghanistan. I went there twice. I would go to Afghanistan, and I had soldiers that were getting paid $30,000 a year to go get shot at in the crap country, most crap country in the world. But yet there would be former soldiers making six figures more than me. They'd be making more than me tax-free just sitting in a guard shack doing fraction of the job, getting paid multiple times more than my soldiers. So my soldiers see this and they're like, well, shoot, I'm just going to get out of the military and go be a contractor. Go make bank. And what that does is it propagates the need, one, for contractors, because they're supplying the manpower for these foreign wars. And if you have people that just vote and they don't care about debt, if you have people that are able to commit military forces into a war without declaring a war as the Constitution requires, then you've got a money-making opportunity. There's a former Marine. I shouldn't say former Marine because there's no former Marines. Smedley Butler, highly decorated former Marine, says that war is a racket. It's a money-making opportunity. And that is absolutely true. It's absolutely true that there, if you can have special interests, the military-industrial complex, which President Eisenhower warned about in 1959, if you can have people make money selling weapons, developing things, providing the logistical support, the billeting, like the building of the houses, if you can have people make money in war making, why would you not make war so that you could make money? So these unconstitutional wars proliferated the economy of war making, which is what we have today. And then whenever you had the big pharmaceuticals say that we need to lock the world down during COVID, push this jab that no one knows what's in it, and we need to do it to our military members, the people who got out, there's no trust. You guys are going against the text of the Constitution. You guys are going against my rights. And you guys are behaving in a way as though you don't give a crap about me. I didn't just throw my men's life away. I made decisions that put them in danger because the situation on the ground called for it. That's a hazard of the job. But I wasn't going to just say, hey, we're here in peacetime. Go ahead and put this experimental bioweapon in your arm. This is what makes people like Commander Green valuable. This is what makes people like Lieutenant Colonel Brad Miller valuable. These men stood on principle. These men had the guts. You know, and there's people like Jordan. It's men and women. Jordan Carr. There's men and women in uniform that stood on principle, stood on the law, and went against this. So the wickedness has destroyed the trust in the military. I would like to, if I can, right now, speak about some of the solutions. Now, one of these solutions goes back to, you got to know what the law is. If people don't know the Constitution, if they don't know what their state constitutions say. Now, this is where I would speak to Commander Green. I would speak to Brad Miller. I would speak to these people who are pushing for military accountability. Amen. I'm completely on board. I would encourage you guys to use what the law says, specifically your state constitutions. Because the federal constitution, the U.S. Constitution, when states are added to the union, the federal government embraces everything that the state constitution says. So if you are a resident of Florida serving in the Navy in freaking Asia, it doesn't mean that you're no longer a resident of Florida. So if the state constitution says that you have the right to liberty, which includes the private rights to your personal health, which it does, then you can be in the Navy, serving in the U.S. Navy, according to the U.S. Constitution, while still being an inhabitant of the state of Florida, even though you are physically living or deployed to Afghanistan or Asia or Africa or wherever. So your right secured in the Florida state constitution is still valid and enforceable and protects you despite the fact that you're in the U.S. Navy under the U.S. Constitution in a foreign area. So we need to understand that first. The second thing is, the more people understand the law, the more they can recognize there's no more foreign wars. No more unconstitutional wars. I don't want to go fight, nor do I want any Americans to go fight in freaking Africa or Asia or Europe for that matter, or South America. I want wars that are fought for the betterment of my nation, and I don't subscribe to the philosophy of world policing, nor do I want geopolitical landscaping, because those are red herrings to distract Americans from the money-making opportunities that has hollowed out our military. They have put our nation in a vulnerable position. You heard Commander Green speak about the fact that we don't have people to fill these billets and positions anymore. So you learn the law, you'll be able to enforce that and tell people the government. And I've got streams on whenever you know the law and you tell people the truth has power. So when people say, how are you going to enforce it? The fact that you say what's true, the way God has set up the universe is that when truth is spoken, it has a power. It has an impact. And people who swore to the Constitution, when you tell them you are breaking the law and you show them, there is a fear effect. And the more people who do that, the more fear, the more control, which is the government that we have. The second thing is, men need to learn the trades. It was a long time that there are generational service members. Families would encourage their children to go into the military. I only had my grandfather from World War II in the military. So my family is not a military family, and I am very vocal to my children, do not go to the military. So I don't have generational service in my family, and by God's grace, I won't have it. I joined because I believed 9/11 was an attack from the outside against America. I believed it. I joined the infantry. I went to West Point. I did all the things I could possibly do to lead men in combat against the people that were telling me these guys are the enemies. I did it. I went there. I experienced it. And I realized you guys are full of crap. You're lying to me. And I left. I left because I recognized the reasons I got in were wrong. I was lied to. And then here we are years later, whenever people are being forced to take bioweapons, they're forced to leave the military, they're forced to be in these squalid conditions, and no one gives a crap because the system is unaccountable and people don't know the law. So I would encourage, if you are a man, learn a trade. Go be a plumber. Everybody poops. One of my favorite books for little kids. Everyone poops. Everyone's going to need indoor plumbing. And if mama don't have indoor plumbing, she's going to force you. Go get the plumber. Go fix the toilet. Go fix the drain. Go fix the sink. Fix it. Everybody needs plumbing. Carpentry. Electricians. Go learn a trade. For many people, generationally speaking, the military was an honorable trade. It was an honorable profession, the profession of arms. And in some regard, it still is. To put your life on the line in service for other people, Jesus himself said, greater love hath no man than he lays down his life for a friend. That's true. But when you have a military that's unconstitutional, when you have corruption that's destroyed trust, when you have enterprising and globalization that has reached its hand into the control of the military to wield it as an institution for money-making opportunities, is stupid. Most people don't understand the economies of scale that happen in military operations, the amount of money that people are making. I remember in 2010, the CIA came out to my base, Cop Sabari, and gave us the first generational weapon. What was it called? The switchblade. A counterfire radio controlled mortar device that was basically just 5 pounds of C4 with the little camera on it that whenever we got shot at, we would get the back azimuth, we would shoot it and blow them up. It was one of the very first ones to shoot that. And I remember the CIA took that, or the weapons developers took that, and they sold it to Congress later that year for billions of dollars. So the economies of war is something that most people don't understand. The next thing is families as nation building. Stop building foreign nations in an American military uniform. That doesn't happen. We were never going to sell democracy or teach democracy, which is a hoax, by the way. We are never going to teach that to foreign nations with American military boots. This is what the movie Team America was for. Making fun of the idea that we're going to come up with our guns, our foreign language, our military uniform, and our sunglasses that you can't see our eyes. We look like robots. We look like automatons. But yet we say, we're here for your good. Trust me. Oh, you're going to defend your home? Boom, 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 boom. He was shooting at us. Otherwise, trust me. This is stupid. This is folly. Men, you don't build nations by invading other nations. You build nations by having families. Get married, one man, one woman, have lots of kids, homeschool them. And the fact that you have a trade, you can support that family without your wife needing to go to work, which is what she wants. She doesn't want to build nations in the cubicle or as a secretary for some corporation's desk job. Your wife wants to build nations through her womb so that her creativity, her nurturing, and her ability to love and nurture is unleashed and ripples throughout time. That's what she wants. If she believes the lie, don't marry her. Go to someone else. The last thing is I want to say church for communities. In the Bible, church just means those who are called out. Call out those to work in the community. Now, I would direct you to Churches of Christ. I would direct you to the church that Christ established, as the Bible teaches, and use the Bible and the Word of God as the foundation for your commonality. That's becoming rarer and rarer. But I would definitely start assembling. I would definitely start making it to where your church, those who are called out, are focused right there in your community. Start with the people that live on either side of you. Invite them over for a Friday night, Saturday night, whatever, just for a barbecue. And just ask them about themselves. What do you guys think about? What's going on? So military men and women, or people considering going into the military, learn a trade so you can produce yourself, or you can provide for yourself. Learn the law so that people in government stop trampling your rights. And if they do, stand on them and force the issue. In the law, controversy brings clarity. So when you stand on the Constitution and you bring controversy and you stand against corruption, the law will clarify what's right and what's wrong. This is how the world works. People don't believe that because they don't know it, because they haven't read it, because they've been educated to believe that the government has all the guns and the government's in charge. This is folly. The history of the world goes against this. The history of the world is that whenever people say this is true and they stand on it, there may be a fight, but more often than not, the fractional elites, the corrupt, will be like, yeah, we don't want to mess with those guys. This is why I did last week. I showed the image of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. The end of the movie, when the people were leaving after the birds had basically killed everybody, and the birds are just sitting there peacefully. And the people were more scared of the birds than the birds were now of the people. Birds didn't run away anymore. When the people know what the truth is and they stand on it, there's a lot more of the common man than there is of the corrupt official. Never forget that. Learn the trade, be able to provide for yourself, build your family as though you are building a nation. You need to embrace that idea. You need to adopt that idea. You need to step into it and stand on it. And then lastly, you need to be leading and following Jesus in a church, the church that he established. The reason why this is important is because, one, we all need salvation from sin. We are all sinners and we are all separated from God. So to have that salvation is the reason why you come to Christ. That is the reason. That is the one benefit you get from Jesus that literally you don't get anywhere else, is salvation from sin. The implied task, and the specified task, is obedience. When you obey Jesus, you are not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, disengaged from everything. You are on offense, and everywhere you go, you are bringing that gospel message, which specifically here is going to go against the corruption, which destroys trust in the military, in government, in society, in schools, in relationships, in marriage, in business. Whatever it is, you're bringing that truth. And you're doing it in love. You're doing it with firmness. And you're doing it with certainty. Folks, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Insofar as Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. You and I are separated from God because of our sin. When we sin, we trespass against his law. God is a perfect and righteous and holy God. When we sin against him, he will punish us. When we pass from this life, when we die, we will give an account to God for everything that we have done. All the ways that we violated him, all the ways that what he's given us, we used for ourselves. We will give an account for that. The only way to be righteous with God, the only way to be justified with God, is to be brought back to him. And the only way you are brought back to him is that the shed blood of Jesus Christ washes away those sins. When Jesus died on the cross, that's what he was doing. He was shedding his blood as an atoning sacrifice so that our sins may be washed away. He was buried to prove that our sin died with him. He physically died. And whenever he physically rose from the grave, that proves that Jesus is Christ. It proves he is the Messiah. It proves he is God. It proves everything he said was true. He predicted his death. He died. He predicted his resurrection. He rose. He called a shot before it happened so that we may believe. People, when you hear the gospel, you must believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you will either obey or you will not obey the gospel. How to call upon the Lord is to repent of your sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins. That's the obedience of the gospel. So when you hear it, you believe it, you're confessing, you're repenting of sins, and you're being baptized in his name. Obey the gospel, my friends. The best way that you can support me in the ministry that I do is to go to patriotswitch.com/Jaron, patriotswitch.com/Jaron. If this has been a blessing, educational, informative, illuminating, entertaining, whatever it is, the best way to support me is to go to support American manufacturing. If you buy laundry detergent, toothpaste, dish detergent, protein, vitamins, makeup, anything that like that, any home item, over 450 products available for online purchase at patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Click the link, myself or somebody will be in touch. We'll say, here's what's going on. Not that big of a deal. online product purchase. Whenever you shop, Jaron gets a benefit. It's a blessing to me. Also, we have an effort where we want to mail Bibles around the nation. We do that in a private membership association called Humble Whole Bean Coffee. At humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee, the free benefit delivered right to your home is air-roasted coffee, perfectly roasted on a cushion of air. No preservatives, no additives, no flavorings, no nothing. Air-roasted coffee is in the top 1% of coffee. 99% of coffee puts the bean in a metal bucket, spins it around, and sets it on fire. And then because it's garbage, they got to load it up with a bunch of fake stuff. Don't drink bad coffee. Drink air-roasted coffee as a free benefit delivered right to your house whenever you join the effort at humblewb.coffee to mail Bibles around the nation. Amen. Anyway, Lord willing, we'll be back next time. Until then, my name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit. Go to war.